Lestus was a killer. His heart raged in his chest as the foreign knight walked him out of the village of Bitterseed. A small group of villagers followed, a few more already waiting at the site. They stood in a loose circle centered on a flattened old tree stump, the village's rarely used place of execution. Lestus mustered all his will to appear calm. He wouldn't let these ignorant rustics see his fear.
"Come along," whispered the knight.
Lestus met his eyes and knew the knight had sensed his fear. His voice still low, the knight said,
"This is a hard thing, the hardest thing, but there is honor in meeting it well."
Lestus hated the knight, the so-called cosmic knight who had ridden into Bitterseed with his soldiers and meddled in everything, meddled and condemned Lestus to death.
"I don't need your pity, knight," Lestus said.
The cosmic knight, young, handsome, like a hero sprung from a bard's tale, merely nodded. He led Lestus onwards and held him at the tree stump. He waited a moment for the assembled villagers to settle, and then the knight's voice called out, lilting with his foreign accent.
"Lestus was accused of murder twice over, and of harming a fellow with the intent to murder. Under the common law, I, Sir Ellery the Cosmic Knight, have judged him guilty. It falls to me to carry out his execution. Lestus, have you any final words to share?"
Lestus fought against the trembling. His fists were balled at his side, knuckles white. Even if he wanted to speak, he was not sure that he could.
"I have something to share,"
another voice called. Lestus turned, hoping for anything to save him. But the voice belonged to the other knight from Ellery's group, the barbed knight. He strode forward, coming close to Ellery, but speaking loud enough for all to hear.
"This is a damned waste of time. You've held us up in this backwater to play act as sheriff," the barbed knight said.
"This man is a murderer. We are sworn to protect the realm," Sir Ellery said.
"Not this realm," the barbed knight said.
As Lestus looked on, losing hope that this interruption would preserve him, the barbed knight took a carefully folded cloth from his satchel. The wind caught it and unfurled it to its full length. A glorious blue banner with golden trim.
"What are you doing?"
Sir Ellery said, embarrassment slipping into his voice.
"Something I should have done after that first outrage in the borderlands. I've already talked to the men."
The barbed knight spoke quickly as he gathered the banner.
"There are no surprises about who will follow you and who will follow me."
The barbed knight stared at the cosmic knight and slowly tore the banner in two. He thrust one half at Ellery's chest, turned, and walked away. For a time, no one moved or said a word. Ellery, who seemed so commanding a moment ago, stood in shock. Lestus, the condemned killer, broke the silence. With a sneer, he said,
"Perhaps I'm the one who should pity you."
Ellery blinked, looked at Lestus, and remembered him. With a swift and practiced motion, Ellery drew his sword and separated the grinning head from the neck below.
Welcome back. In the previous session, Nott and Maldita had a duel. This was brought about by the Rose Seer telling Nott that he had to fight Maldita and draw blood. And they did fight, and Nott won. It has caused a new tension between the two of them. And he moved away from the group of Maldita and the villagers that were caring for her after the fight. They were by a graveyard where the villagers had been burning corpses. That's another story, we won't get into that. He moved away and slept apart from the group. And while he was sleeping, he was attacked by a great vulture that nearly killed him, and Maldita saved him. That's what happened last time. I'm trying to make my summaries a bit shorter. I'm going to begin this new session by advancing time by a season. Okay, advancing time. At the end of each session, or during a natural break in their journey, the group decides how much time will reasonably pass. And the options are none, weeks, months, years. So I'm going to be advancing by months, move to the next season. Up until now, I've been playing in the green season, or spring, and moving on to the gold season, or harvest. One thing to do when advancing, there's two things to do. One thing is that the knights have an option to undertake a pursuit, kind of a downtime activity for the passage of time between the seasons. And the second is unresolved situations get advanced in some way. So I have a list of unresolved situations. The first one is that Nott came to this realm with a quest or a mission from the ruler of his own realm, which was to retrieve the banner of a warband that had been sent here. He's made zero progress on that. Something that was revealed in the, not to Nott, but to the audience and myself, is that the warband passed through the area that he's in now and killed someone in the village of the villagers who were met in the previous session. I'm going to roll a d6, so this will determine if the situation gets worse or better. So the situation I'm talking about is Nott's quest to retrieve this banner. I rolled a 1, which is the worst possible outcome. I'm going to make all the rolls and then decide on how to interpret them. The next one is Demelza, who is another character who Nott encountered back in the first session, kind of decided that Nott was not very useful and was going to try to deal with this undead threat that had risen. And she was going to try and hire some fighters or someone who would be useful in dealing with this problem. That's a 2. That's also not a great result. The next thing is that there was this tension between Nott and Maldita. They fought a duel. Not just that they fought a duel, because that was asked of them by a seer, and that wouldn't necessarily be questioned. But when Nott defeated Maldita, there was this glimmer of arrogance or pride in him that I think Maldita saw and didn't appreciate. So this is a role to see how the relationship between them is developing. That's a 3. Also not great. But all of this is good for drama, right? The other thing that Nott has not attended to, one of his many responsibilities that he's ignoring, he was given a letter by Howell, the steward of Freetown, to deliver to a healer called Carenza. So Howell heard about this undead problem, and rather than meeting it head on, he decided to reach out to a healer that he knows, exploring the possibility that there might be something of value that could be extracted from these walking dead. They might be able to extract some sort of healing properties that can be sold, basically. He's looking for an angle where he can make some money. So he gave a letter to Nott and said, please travel to her dwelling, deliver this. And what I have in mind for how he spends the season is that he does not do that. So he has an undelivered letter. Let's roll for that. 4. Okay, so let's step through these things and resolve them and see what comes of them. I have something that might help me. I've got my spark tables in Mythic Bastion Land, and I've also got the Ask the Stars Oracle if I'm looking for something a bit more abstract, which I think I might be. Retrieve the banner of the lost warband. I rolled a 1. It goes as bad as it could possibly go. So let me say what I have in mind for Nott's downtime first. So he and Maldita were both injured, fighting each other and then fighting the great vulture. and some villagers who they encountered, who didn't know them, they haven't really been properly introduced, gave them medical care. I think that after that incident, they return with those villagers to their village, and they stay there for the remainder of the season. Maldita and Nod are both farmers, or their background were farmers. So I think while they're healing up and getting back on their feet, they stay with those villagers and help them with the farming work. And it's a time for Nod to reconsider the approach he's taken with his knighthood so far. He found this gilded armor and was knighted by a strange seer, and immediately rode out as though he was ready for anything. And he has had very little success so far. And the only person who's with him who he cares about, he's done her harm. And nothing good has come of him being a knight. So I think the instinct here is to sort of pull back a little bit, be working with his hands, get back to something he knows and understands, and take some time before continuing on his quest. His primary downtime activity or action between the seasons is farming and contemplating his path in life. But I'm going to read the rules on choosing a pursuit. So it gives three options. Pilgrimage, learn about an unknown part of the realm. Courtesy, establish a new contact or earn a favor. Service, make a small improvement to the realm. Given what I said, I think it makes sense that it's a courtesy that he is forming contacts with these villagers. I'm going to just quickly look on the map and see where this village is. So it's right beside Freetown. I'm not going to make up a name for the village now, because that is my least favorite thing in role-playing games, is coming up with names of places. So his courtesy during this time between seasons is working with these farmers and temporarily becoming a part of this community. And they'll have some gratitude for him for that. So the unresolved situation we're thinking about at the moment is retrieve the banner of the Lost Warband. And what I'd said is that the warband had passed through this village, and when they passed through, they had killed someone, and we didn't work out the details, but the killing was not completely unwelcome. It wasn't that they rode in and just raided the place and took things and killed someone. They killed someone who was some kind of controversial figure or some kind of villain, potentially. But what I've just rolled is that this idea about retrieving the banner of the warband has gone as bad as it could possibly go. So I need to think of what's come about, or what does he learn from the villagers about the warband and about the banner. My first thought, as bad as it could possibly go, is that the banner has been completely destroyed and it's no longer possible to retrieve it. That is bad, but it's also, I think, a bit less interesting because it kind of closes off the possibility that he'll get it. So I will ask the stars for some guidance on how to interpret that. So 2d12, 11 and 4. The council, which is linked to opposition and cycles, and waning, desire and decay. What I'm taking from this is a warband of knights and soldiers came from Nott's home realm. They arrived into this realm, they came into this village, and Nott is learning this from the villagers that he has grown close to over the season. There is a dispute between the leadership of this warband. There are kind of two senior knights, and one of them arriving in this village got involved in the matters of the village and was involved in judging a criminal and executing them according to the laws of the realm. The other knight, maybe a kind of a second in command, disagreed with this decision. He didn't want to have this involvement. He was more focused on what they were here to do on their mission to the realm. So not to just get involved in every incident on the journey. And it was a very heated argument between the two of them, over seen by the villagers. I think that the warband split in two, and because I had already suggested the idea that the banner was destroyed, let's dial that back slightly and say that the banner was torn in two, and they each have one part of the banner. So if Nott's quest is to retrieve the banner and bring it home, he now has to get two pieces of it. I think that's a pretty bad outcome. Demelza hiring fighters. I rolled a two. It gets worse. Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so there are soldier oracles in the spark tables for Mythic Bastion Land. So I'm going to roll up a type of soldier, and then maybe I will roll up a desire, because that will give them some ulterior motive or some complexity in their... Demelza is hiring them to help her, but they want something else. Okay, so the soldiers are 2, 5. Reluctant guards and desire. Ambition is status and motive is freedom. So Demelza is trying to effectively hire a warband to protect her people from the dead. She's in Freetown, the only holding we've visited so far, and find some disgruntled guards who, although they work for the government of Freetown, they are also open to work for hire, because they are looking to establish themselves as mercenaries, basically. I'm not going to get too specific with this. I think just they're slightly dodgy. So she's hired the only people she can find to hire. She now has a warband of kind of a part-time warband. I guess they also have to come to Freetown and do their shifts. But she has this questionable group of fighters who may not be exactly aligned with what she wants. That'll do for now. The grudge between Nott and Maldita. I rolled a 3. It gets worse. I think if I'd rolled it gets bad as it could possibly go, I think Maldita would have left and Nott would have continued without her. She remains with him. She stays in this village helping with the farming during the season, but they have very little contact. They haven't really resolved that drama of the duel and the aftermath of it. But she still remains with him. I think there's just a very tense relationship now. They see each other from time to time. They sometimes work together in the fields, but Maldita is a bit disconnected from Nott, and Nott is kind of an arrogant fool and doesn't make much of an effort to repair the relationship. So they're speaking, but they're not speaking about the big things. Okay, the only thing that got better is that Nott was supposed to deliver a letter, and he made no effort to do so. So how would that get better? If I rolled extremely well, if I rolled a 6, I might say that the person he was delivering the letter to was passing by, maybe, and he was able to deliver it. Maybe he gave the letter to someone else to deliver. He encountered someone who was heading that way and thought they can accomplish it for him. I guess the question is he dejected enough about knighthood that he would give up that responsibility and say to someone else, you take this and do it? And I think he is. I think he's put away his armor. It's wrapped up in a bundle in the home he's staying in. He hasn't looked at it or at his weapons in a couple of months, and he's just back in the fields. And someone passes through the village, mentions that they're on their way to see Carenza, and he gives them the letter and trusts them to deal with it. So that is dealt with. So one more activity between the seasons is not making a contact in this village with an animal tracker, because what he wants to do is hunt down the great vulture that he's done battle with twice. He wants to find where its nest is, track it to there, and defeat it once and for all. I'm going to begin kind of centering myself at the hex where the village is, and I'm going to roll a d6. So 1, 2, 3 will be 1, 2, 3 hexes to the west. 4, 5, 6 will be hexes to the east, and also I'll use a similar kind of method for north and south to find a hex within kind of this rough area of where this bird has its nest. And then I'm going to begin the session at that location with the tracker joining Nott and Maldita on this effort to find the bird. So let's roll a north dice, north-south dice, and an east-west dice. Okay, so north-south, I got 6. So 1, 2, 3 is north, 4, 5, 6 is south. And then I got 4 on east-west. With that, I have found a hex where this site is located. The site is something that I built in the previous episode. I will share in the description of this episode a link to an itch page where you can see all the detail of it. It's called Broken Peak. Okay, the next thing I need to do is roll up the character, the animal tracker who has helped them find where this bird makes its nest. So let me go, first of all, to get a name. So I've just opened up on a random page, and the name I see is Dorka. I'll go to the people sparks and just flesh Dorka out ever so slightly. I don't think I'll roll stats unless I need them. Let's go with personality. Demeanor is ambitious, and interest is music. And maybe let's roll on one more. I'm going to go with an ailment. So let's roll on an ailment for Dorka. The descriptor, medicated blindness. It's now the gold season. Nott, the gilded knight, Maldita, his squire, and Dorka, the tracker, have traveled through the bogs to the south of the village and approached a well-known landmark here called Broken Peak. This is a singular mountain that stands tall above the surrounding landscape, a grey rock which is cracked at its upper peak so that it looks almost like a blade thrust upwards. Part of the mountain is broken away and it gives an extra sharpness to the peak of the mountain. They are traveling with a small entourage. In addition to the three named characters, there are a couple of hirelings with them to keep the horses at the bottom of the mountain, to keep them safe, because they won't be able to make the trek into the peak above. It's night when they arrive, and they want to make camp at the bottom of the peak. They approach the bottom of the mountain, kind of leaving the grasslands behind. There's a small incline at first, and up ahead they can see a fast flowing river coming down the mountain with great force, with a lot of white water crashing against rocks just up ahead of them. And it's at this place, just at the edge of the grasslands, where they decide to make camp for the night. Dorka has poor eyesight. He chews an herb constantly, which he claims helps him see better, but at nighttime he is almost completely blind and he can't lead them at night, but also it's unsafe to go into the mountain at night. They make camp, and I'll do a wilderness roll to see if anything happens at night. Okay. I've rolled a 3. 3 is encounter the next omen from the nearest myth. The nearest myth is the dead. It's the only myth that I've encountered any omens from so far. It's extremely close to the location they're in. The center of the myth is quite close to this location, so it's likely that it keeps coming up. So the previous omen was the graveyard being burned. The next omen, a rotting corpse mimicking its life as a forager. It is tethered to a nearby tree by a steel rope of impossible construction. Okay, and there are stats for the rotting corpse denied their rest. The others are setting up camp. They're putting the horses to rest and building a small fire. And Knott decides to walk around the perimeter to make sure that this is a safe place. He's making sure to stay within sight of everyone. The last time he wandered off from a group of people at night, he got almost killed. It is extremely dark, just starlight tonight. He can't see so well. He can hear the chatter back in the direction of the camp. He can hear the flowing water of the river ahead at the base of the mountain. And then he hears a low moaning sound. It's a groan. It's a human voice. It sounds like maybe someone hurt, but with no urgency in the sound. They're not calling out for help. They're just moaning. He draws his mace. He's wearing his armor again, his gilded armor, for the first time since that night when he fought Maldita and was nearly killed by the vulture. He has ridden out again as the Gilded Knight after months of being simply not a farmer again. He readies his mace, but he's learned some restraint and he doesn't go alone to this noise. He walks back towards the camp and asks Maldita to join him. Maldita obeys. She follows him, but there is this unspoken tension between them now. She is still his squire, but there's a feeling hanging over their journey together that maybe she won't remain with him for much longer. He explains to her there's a noise up ahead, a voice, and he wants her to investigate with him. She has her axe ready, he has his mace, and they move towards this sound. In the darkness, they can make out someone crouching in the grasslands, foraging. Bending down, looking for something, picking up herbs from the ground, perhaps torn leaves, dropping them to one side as if they're holding a basket, but they're not holding a basket. So anything they pick up and drop just falls again to the ground. It's a kind of a strange little mimicry of foraging. Knott calls out and tries to get the attention of this person, but they don't respond. And they continue moaning. It's a low groan. Not his hands tighten on the shaft of his mace. His knuckles whiten. There is something wrong here. This is not just a simple peasant that they've stumbled across at night. And it would be so strange to meet someone doing this activity at night. He moves forward slowly with Maldita. Still a great deal of trust between them. Ready to protect each other in battle. The other tension put aside for the moment. And as they get closer, it becomes clear that this person ahead of them is dead. The flesh is hanging from their bones. There are a few very tired rags here and there about them, but this is a dead body walking around, pantomiming kind of a foraging activity. But in a small circle around a tree, not venturing far from the tree because they have a shackle around their ankle and that is connected back to the tree. Knott and Maldita just watch for a time. This creature's taken no notice of them. It's completely fixated on its activity. It is oblivious to them. It's tearing leaves off of any plants down at its feet. All of the area around it the grass and the plants are much lower. It's almost like a goat has been passing around here grazing, but just in this one little circle within the radius of this chain from the tree. Maldita speaks, asks not. This is a creature like you saw before, like the Melza spoke of, one of the dead. And Not replies, yes, it is. We should end this thing. This is unnatural. But he's careful as he approaches it. The two of them move towards it on either side. It's not paying any attention to them. And nodding to each other, they are preparing to synchronize their strikes, to hit it together and kill it as fast as possible, which will take some dice. When they approach closer, when their minds shift into thoughts of combat, not of the weirdness of this thing and the possible act of mercy of killing it or ending it as it is already dead, when they start to think about the doing of the thing, they notice that it has more than rags on it. Up close, what looked like skin with a pale sheen in the starlight is actually chainmail, and this thing has at its side, looped into its belt, a glaive that could be used as a weapon. So it is not defenseless. Whether it has the sense to fight them, it's not clear. Not says, we strike as one, and we make this quick before it has a chance to respond. So they're both going to attack, and Not is going to use Smite to try and end this as fast as possible. Okay, so because Not is using Smite, he will roll an extra d12. He's attacking with his mace, which is a d10. Okay, long weapons require both hands and are impaired in confined environments. So with his mace, he can only attack with his mace, whereas Maldita has an axe, which is hefty, so she can only use one hefty weapon, but she can use her other hand to use her dagger, so she can attack with 2d6. So I'm going to roll a d12, a d10, and 2d6 for this attack. The largest die result is a 9. There's also an 8 and a 5. So between them, the most impactful damage that can be done is 9 damage, and then they each can do a gambit, and Knot's gambit can be a strong gambit, so there would be no save against it. So let's consider how that plays out. Maldita will use her gambit to bolster the damage. That will bring the damage from 9 up to 10, and Knot's strong gambit will be to impair the weapon, the glaive that the dead character is holding. The rotting corpse has mail, which provides an armor of 1. It has 1 guard, so the 10 is reduced to 9. The guard is overcome, and there's 8 damage remaining, which will reduce its vigor down to 10. Sorry, from 10 to 2. What does this look like? Knot and Maldita are synchronized either side, nod to each other, and then move forward in a flash. Knot, with both hands on his mace, brings it swinging down overhead and clashing into the torso of the creature. At the same time, he kicks out and slams his foot into the glaive. It is swung around on the belt loop that it's looped into, so that it's kind of harder to grasp hold of by the creature. At the same time, Maldita charges forward and stabs with her axe and dagger, one towards the chest, one towards the back, in this pincer, attacking the creature. It is an extremely powerful attack, and for any living thing they would have encountered up to this time, it would have certainly killed it. what is written here in the description of the rotting corpse is it keeps fighting even after a mortal wound. This is a mortal wound. Maldita staggers back a few paces, kind of shocked as this strange human rotting thing looks up at her. Maldita lets go of her dagger and her axe. They're both stuck into the creature. She's now unarmed and also takes a step back as the creature stops what it's doing. It's finished with this weird foraging activity, and I'm going to roll to decide which of the two it pays attention to now. So 1 to 3, I'll say Maldita, and 4 to 6 for now. With the two weapons stabbed into it, but no blood issuing forth, it seems more concerned with Maldita. It turns to her, and one hand absently kind of pawing at where its glaive was, but it doesn't find it. So it swings its arm out to make an unarmed attack against Maldita, and rolls a 4. Okay, so last time Maldita was given a scar in the duel with Nott, her guard was increased up to 6. So the creature sweeps out with his hand, and Maldita, although she was shocked and let go of her weapons in this kind of stunned state, has the wherewithal to back out of the way, and the rotting arm passes through empty air, and she then charges forward. She's going to make an unarmed attack against it, and something I forgot to do, which I'll do now. I get very excited. I forget to do important things. Nott did a smite. After doing a smite, he should pass a vigor save or become fatigued. So his vigor is 12. I'm rolling a d20, trying to get 12 or under. It's 4. Nott can smite again, and he's going to smite again. So he's rolling again with a d10 and a d12. And Maldita's contributing a d4. They're all attacking again at the same time. She's kind of diving towards this creature to push it into the mace that's going to strike down on it from Nott. Maldita doesn't do enough to contribute a gambit. Nott has rolled a 4 and an 8. Maldita charges forward fearlessly. This horrible undead thing breathing in her face as she moves up very close to it and pins its arms. She is trying to hold onto it, but it's struggling against her, and Nott kicks it in the back, and its legs kind of give out under it, and so that it's now held firmly by Maldita. And then he swings with the mace at its head and impacts cleanly and removes the head from the body. The body then becomes lifeless in Maldita's arms, and she drops it and steps back. They turn and see the head, the mouth kind of gaping open and closed for a moment in the grass before it too falls silent and still. Maldita bends down, retrieves her weapons, and then begins to inspect the tether that had bound this creature to the tree nearby. The omen describes the tether as a steel rope of impossible construction, something she's never seen before, and Nott doesn't recognize either. They don't know what has brought this about. They know that there are risen dead in this place, and that they've been causing a menace. They don't know who would have been able to restrain this thing here, and what they don't understand the means that were used to do it. The steel rope is heavy. They consider bringing it with them. It might be useful for their journey, but given the weight of it, they decide to leave it here. I want to check whether it's important that I need to do the save for that smite. So if I fail, become fatigued. Become unable to perform feats until I rest, just for flavor, because I think he is going to go rest now, but I'm just curious to know if Nott passes this save. So 12 or under. 19. It's only Maldita who's inspecting this steel rope, because Nott almost collapses down onto the ground. He's sitting next to this dead thing, panting. He gave everything he had, just two strikes against it. And he's just kind of sitting there, looking at his mace, looking at his hands. They're trembling ever so slightly. This is maybe the most successful battle he has fought. He was unharmed. Maldita was unharmed. They overcame their foe. But he's rusty. He hasn't swung a weapon in malice or in practice for months. He pants, catches his breath, and looks up at Maldita, curious to know if this moment of working together, of overcoming something, might have cleared the air a little bit. And I'm happy to roll to see if that's the case. So, ask the stars. I think it's unlikely that killing a zombie will make two people feel good about their relationship again. So I'm going to roll 2d12 and take the lower. So the question I'm asking is, when Maldita looks at Nott, when she makes eye contact with him, does he feel a sense of forgiveness or warmth there? And the answer is no. So she looks at him. There's relief that they weren't harmed, but she just says, "I'll see you back at camp," and walks past him while he's still sitting there. She doesn't offer him a hand to help him up. We'll skip on to the next morning. The hirelings they took with them remain with the horses. They'll leave elements of the camp here. This is their base camp, effectively. And not Maldita and Dorca move onwards. They follow the sound of the river and move towards the white water up ahead. And the first thing they notice is that the ground is unsteady. There are loose rocks, and they're instantly glad they didn't bring the horses. This wouldn't have been possible for the horses to maintain their footing on this. And they're having difficulty too. I think it's reasonable that they may have taken some walking sticks, just foraged around for good sticks to bring with them to help them stay balanced as they walk up the mountain. Approaching the water's edge and being careful because the ground is so loose beneath their feet, they see a small shrine. It is kind of waist height, made of stone, with a peaked roof, and all around it are small pieces of pottery balanced on flat stones around it. Inside the shrine is a shield. Maldita moves a little closer. She's looking inside and sees that it's a kite shield, painted blue with a green sapling. It looks like a fine shield, a fine piece of weaponry, and it's left here, presumably to honor someone who carried it, but she is wondering if it could be useful on this journey. Maldita turns to Nott and says, "I know this is a shrine. I know that this belonged to someone who was being remembered here, but perhaps it could be borrowed and used." Nott is already... Their relationship is fraught, and I don't think he wants to say no to her. Nott has a different... He found the gilded armor on a corpse and took it, and I think has some mixed feelings about that. He felt like it was right that he took it, but it was a very significant moment in his life. The way Maldita's speaking, it just seems a little bit like, oh, this could be useful. I'll grab it. I think he wants her to be speaking of it with more gravitas. But at the same time, I think he doesn't want to push back against her just now. But the ground all around is also unsteady. The shrine is very close to the water's edge. If she just charges in and grabs it, the whole thing might collapse and she might fall into the river. He prods the ground a little bit with his walking stick to see how steady it is. And the shrine shifts So this hefty stone shrine just tips to an angle ever so slightly, as if it's going to topple over. And he says, "Go gentle, hold my walking stick." So he crouches down to make himself as steady as he can, holds the stick. She holds the other end and kind of moves out towards the shrine, trying to keep her footing, trying not to disturb the rocks too much, because this is, the whole thing actually seems like it's being undercut by the river and could collapse in at any moment. I was about to say, Maldita should do a clarity save. Her clarity is 2. So it's extremely likely she'll fail that. Is there anything else they could do to create advantage in this situation so that it's not dependent on her sure-footedness? It's dependent on their preparation. Maldita begins to step out and stumbles and falls to her palms, and more rock shift. She slides towards the river a little bit, and Nott reaches forward, grabs her and pulls her back, and turns towards Dorca. I'm going to roll Dorca's stats and see if he's any better at this kind of thing. Let's go 2d6 for his clarity, which is kind of squire-like stats, which seems reasonable. A 9. Okay. My fountain pen dried out because I didn't put the top back on. Disaster. Nott pulls Maldita back and calls Dorca forward and says, "Take a turn." Does Dorca agree easily to this? It's a dangerous thing. It's not that he was hired to help him find a bird's nest. He wasn't hired to retrieve a shield that's teetering on the brink of a river. I'll ask the stars to see if he's open to this. Is Dorca open to doing this? 7. Yes, but. Okay, let me think. He's going to demand something in return for risking himself in this way. Presumably he's been hired. Nott and Maldita have earned some goodwill by spending a season farming with the village that Dorca comes from. But he's doing this in exchange for something, and he's going to ask for more of it. So let's look at the desires, sparks, or goals, people, desire. I'll roll desire and task, and I'll see if the combined something makes sense. 1 and 4. Ambition, escape, motive, recovery. Dorza has some kind of affliction in his eyes, which he chews an herb for to help him see. He can't see at all at nighttime. His desire is to leave where he lives for recovery, so to go to a healer. The healer, well, it's all falling into place now, isn't it? The healer that I'm aware of is Carenza. So he presumably wants to go to Carenza for healing, but hasn't. So there's something preventing him from doing that. Let's roll task and see what that comes up with. Transport bridge. Okay, an idea for a backstory between Dorca, the tracker, who's helping to find this bird, and Carenza, the great healer, who Nott previously was trying to deliver a letter to. Dorca was once transporting Carenza. He was traveling with her. He was guiding her. She was collecting something she needed from the wilderness for her healing potions that she creates. And something went terribly wrong at a bridge. And she has never forgiven him. And she will not treat him because of this. I don't know that Dorca has revealed any of this. But Dorca needs treatment. He needs healing from Carenza. And Carenza holds a grudge against Dorca because of his failure as a guide in the past. So what Dorca hopes to gain from this journey is a really strong bond and an ally in a knight who can clear the air with Carenza. He's looking for someone to help him open up this pathway for him to be healed. He's eager to impress and make Nott indebted to him. So he is going to slide out, holding on to Nott's walking stick, towards a precarious, crumbling surface to retrieve a kite shield. This is a little bit elaborate. To give to Nott's squire so that Nott will be impressed and will eventually, at some point in the future, help mend this grudge between Dorza and Carenza. Okay, so his clarity is 9. He's going to roll a d20 to see if he gets out to the shield safely and is able to retrieve it. It's a 20. Okay, I'm going to ask the stars about how bad this outcome is. So the worst case would be Dorza goes into the river. The ground gives way underneath him, the shrine, and he fall into this white water river, and he's kind of dashed against the rocks. That would be a pretty bad outcome. Maybe a middling outcome would be the shield, the shrine, kind of crumbles away and falls into the river, and he's unable to retrieve the shield. I'll say unlikely, because I guess I'm being slightly gentle with myself. I'll ask the stars, I'll say it's unlikely. Does Dorza go into the river and take the lower? Yes, but he steps out. Maldita looks on with regret. This is something that she's asked for. She wants this shield. And now Dorza is putting himself at risk for the sake of that. He gets towards it. His fingers are reaching out. He's not all the way at the shrine, but his arm is outstretched towards it. His arm reaches inside this small stone shrine, and his fingertips touch on the edge of the kite shield. His foot knocks against one of these small pots, one of these small offerings on the ground. His footing is a little bit unstable, and then everything gives way. The ground under him, all these loose stones just fall apart, as if there had been something binding them that just gives up. The shrine himself, everything, falls into the water. And the only saving grace here is that he holds on tightly to the walking stick that Nott has. So there's a chance that Nott can pull him free. To pull him out of the river. And it's a vigor save for Nott. So 12 or under. Another 20. Have I been saying Dorza? It's written down as Dorka. I think I've been saying Dorza. Whatever his name is, he's holding on to the walking stick, has fallen into the water, not pulls with all his might to pull him free, and falls backwards and finds himself holding on to the walking stick with no one on the other end of it. They hear painful cry as Dorka is smashed against some rocks by this powerful river, and another cry when he's hit against different rocks. They get up, and as fast as they can, being careful so as they don't cause more of this unstable ground to collapse into the river, they go down river to see if they can see him being washed up on the shoreline. I'll ask the stars, do they see his body coming out of the water? I think it's likely. I don't think he would completely disappear. Well, you know what? I'll just roll it straight up, because he might get caught underneath somehow. Do they see his body in a place where they can grab hold of him and pull him free? 11, yes. Okay, so a little bit further down out of the rocky ground, a bit more into the soil and the beginnings again of the grassland, they run into the river. There's less white water here. It's not flowing as fast. Nott is ankle deep and then knee deep in the water, and he grabs onto Dorka and pulls him out onto the land. He is hurt. Let's give him a vigor stat. I never rolled for him. 5. I think guard wouldn't be very important
when getting battered around by rocks in a river. I'll roll a d6 for damage, so there's a possibility this will kill him outright. It's a 1. So he's knocked from 5 to 4 vigor. Not too bad. Knot helps him dry off and catch his breath, and they rest for a little while and share some water. Knot says to him, "That was an ordeal, my friend. I understand if you want to turn back. You've given us solid instructions. We can find this nest without you." But as I said, Dorca has a very clear agenda here. He needs a knight to be indebted to him to cure his affliction, to help him cure his affliction. So he replies, "No, no. I can go on. Just give me a little time to rest." Knot looks up at the sky. It's early in the morning. He thinks it's an inconvenience that they have to wait before proceeding, but is acceptable. So they'll pass the morning here. They haven't made any progress, but he wants to give Dorza some time to rest. So let me think about this. Yeah, so the travel rules are pretty clear. There are rules for how far you can travel. And I haven't traveled anywhere since the last, since last night. But when ending a phase in wilderness roll, they are in wilderness. They're kind of waiting at the base of this mountain. They haven't retreated back to the small camp that they had. So they're just kind of sitting here, resting by the river. And yeah, I'll do a wilderness roll. 6. Encounter the hex's landmark, otherwise all clear. This hex does have a landmark. The landmark is a ruin. So I didn't prepare any of the prompts for ruins or different types of landmarks on this map. I'm just using the map. Based on the images that are here, I know that there's a ruin. So, well, I can roll a d6 and a d12 because there's a ruin. The 72 ruins I can choose from. 6 and a 6. Smashed jail. A ruin is linked to an old myth. Remnants of the past echo the future. These hint at a random myth not currently active in the realm, though it may return. So let's roll a myth. 6 and 4. And that will be linked to this smashed jail. This myth is the Inferno. Flames of greed in earth entrenched, in deepest soil no thirst bequenched. So without going into detail, this is a myth about a creature that is using fire to get what it wants, and a great deal of damage being done by that fire. So the jail that I'm imagining is not one large enough to contain this creature, but a small prison that was built during the time of this myth, when some humans were incorrectly blamed for the fire. One of the omens, for example: an orchard lies burned to ash. The young farmer weeps among the embers. They're left with no choice but to plead for aid at the nearest holding. So a farmer claimed that his orchard was destroyed through mystical means by a fire, but he was not believed. And when further fires occurred, he was a scapegoat. He was blamed for this and imprisoned near here. So they're resting on the grass here. And I think maybe this can link back as well to the dead forager that they encountered, because that was also this idea of someone being shackled and restrained. That shack, the steel rope of unknown construction, was a remnant of this ruin. The prison that existed here was built with metalwork that is no longer understood in the realm. And while Knot and Dorca rests on the grass beside the river, which can be more easily traversed here, Maldita steps into the water and she sees more of this metal. There are prison bars. There's a gate. there is part of a gatepost, a stone gatepost that has this metal worked into it. And it is extremely strong, extremely powerful metal. Unfamiliar to her, unfamiliar to Nott. She has her axe and she's kind of testing her axe against it and sees that the axe is being warped out of shape by small impacts with these ancient prison bars. But they're not stronger than nature. And over time, the course of this river, maybe there was a rock slide or something and the river was turned, and what small prison had been here was overrun with water. And even though this was ingenious construction and extremely strong and resilient, it was completely destroyed over time. But I wonder, given that Maldita was looking for something of use to her, could she find something here? Could she find something that would serve as a kind of a twisted metal shield to replace the one that she failed to retrieve just now? I think that's a nice idea. Let me check the old luck roll rule, even though I should know what that rule is, because I named the podcast after it. Refereeing, probably. The problem with luck rolls is something really bad can happen. Let me just ask the stars. Can she find metal here that is in a reasonable enough shape that it could serve as a shield? Do I even want to roll for this? I kind of just want that to be the case. I think that would be quite cool. Yeah. How about that? She looks through the metal. She finds some warped steel beams, steel bars, stronger than her axe. Kind of a, like, it's not, if someone were to attack with a spear, they could go between the bars and strike you. But if someone were to slash at you, they would be blocked by this. So it's kind of like a grid shield, if that term at all makes sense. Most shields can be used to attack with a d4. Because this one is a little bit special, I think it'll be a d6. And I think it should be hefty because it's made out of this metal. And that is now Maldita's first piece of armor. She fishes that out of the river and brings it back into the grasslands. And while they're spending the morning there sitting, giving Dorca just time to collect himself again after kind of a shock, she tears long pieces of grass and kind of weaves them into the bars so that instead of the gaping holes being exposed, it's now almost like a wicker effect. You could still pierce it very easily, but it's less visibly open to attack. So she has a wicker steel bar shield now, which is quite a long description for something I didn't expect to happen. I think I'm going to end this session here. I didn't get very far into the site, but it started, and I'm happy about that. Thank you, as always, for listening. Some people have reached out to me and given me really positive feedback for this project I'm doing. I am really delighted about that. It's really nice to hear people enjoying it, and I hope you keep enjoying it. I'm going to keep doing it for as long as I'm having fun, which I am. I don't know where it's going to go, and that's the best part. Okay, thanks all. Bye-bye.